per hour.
Were you getting complaints about the quality of your music?
No.
Had you been throwing rocks at passing women?
No.
Were you insisting on extorting money from old ladies?
No.
Well, what exactly were you doing wrong?
Well, there's a sign up on the wall about 100 yards away. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I was like looking the other way.
Right.
And like, I'm sorry, I don't have eyes in the back of my head, but it's just that way, you know?
So Officer Rapley then told you that he would be giving you a ticket?
No.
He just gave you a ticket?
Yeah, nice guy.
I see.
Yeah.
Wow. I will say no more. So you have another ticket. Is that another, something else we can look at and comment on? Or
sure.
What does this say? I mean, this is another yellow slip of paper, folks. Becoming very, very popular down here on the avenue.
Oh,
this is for a warrant, Judge Attic 272, and Officer Bailey gave it to you, looks like today as well. And that's just about it for Bathroom Spears Broadsides, the November 5th edition. We're going to be kind of rolling out on some traditional music here. It's been quite an eventful session. Sorry about the earlier phone problems. We will be returning on Sunday at 11 o'clock, and I will be, of course, going down to the Monterey Peninsula College Tribunal Against Police Violence. If you are interested in this activity and haven't got a ride, you call fast. You might be able to get in with me at 423-HUFF. Give me a call at 423-4833. If you witness abuse on the mall or around town, you can give a call to SPAM, Stop Police Abuse Now, at 475-2012. That's Stop Police Abuse Now at 475-2012. There is a new city council coming into power on November 24th. There is one last meeting of the old guard on November 10th. And on Sunday, I will hopefully be giving you the rundown on what these clowns plan to rush past us at this last meeting, if the past is any guide to what they are likely to do on Tuesday. Even as we speak, I believe there were meetings yesterday and today around Terrace Point, another attempt to develop away lots of the green area in Santa Cruz and build up stuff that attracts more upper middle class people into a kind of a development frenzy that suits some, but apparently not the voters, if the election's results are to be trusted. I'm going to get out of here on time this time, so Uncle Dennis can actually begin his show at 8 o'clock. He's here in the studio. He's got lots of information. Have your pencils and pads ready to act, because you can't just sit back and lay around with Dennis. You got to do stuff. So get ready to do stuff, and do join me again on Sunday. We'll continue with Bathroom Spears Broadsides. It's the sound of Bathroom Spears Broadsides, coming to you every Sunday, 11 o'clock. Your civil rights show, your call-in show, so stay with us for the next 2.5 hours. Got some real serious stuff to talk about, some real sad news, and some good stuff, too. Phone number is 427-3772. Stay with us.
Dr. Winchell, Joe DiMaggio, Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Stu to make a television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe. Sugar Ray, Panmunjom, John Randall, the King and I, and the catcher in the right. Eisenhower vaccine, England's got a new queen. Marciano, Liberace, Sapphire, and everybody.
We can start the fire. Well, it's all we know, and since the world's been turning, we can start the fire. Well, we did it right, but the tribal lines.
Joseph Stalin, Alan Carr, Nasser, and the coffee are Rockefeller, Campanella, communist bloc. Roy Kahn, Walter Ron, Toscanini, Daquan, Gin Gin, Foo Falls, rock around the clock. Einstein, James Dean, Brooklyn's got a winning team. Davy Crockett, Peter Pan, Elvis Presley, Disneyland, Bardo, Budapest, Alabama, Khrushchev, Prince's Great, Picky Place, Trouble in the Suez.
We can start the fire.
Actually, now we heard earlier. We're talking now to
Crow
and
Greg.
Crow and Greg, you guys were in the camp that
Bob
and Woody, Bobby and Woody were in.
Yes.
And this is apparently an incident where an officer said, "What exactly did he say to Bobby and Woody?"
Oh, I don't know what he said specifically. I wasn't there. It would just be hearsay, as far as I'm concerned.
Right, but we heard he said something to the effect of that. The way to deal with the homeless was to put a bullet through their head?
Put a bullet in our head. That's the way to control the homeless people.
And did you say anything that provoked this, or did he just come out of the blue? Or what was the context?
We were all asleep, and he woke us up.
All right. How many of you were there? Three of you?
There was four of us at that time at our camp, and then they camped about, I'm going to say, 20 yards from us, maybe.
So you guys were camping 20 yards away?
Yeah, we were. Yeah.
And there were two officers involved?
There was two officers that came to our camp, yeah.
And who were they, you know?
Officer Berkeley, and then the other is badge number 174.
So,
and I don't know the other cop, he just showed up later.
Okay. And you think it was Officer Berkeley who made this comment to...
I don't know, I can't speculate.
So it could have been Officer Berkeley. And certainly he was one of the... Those were the same two officers that came to Bobby's camp?
Yeah. I think so.
Did you guys get tickets as well?
No, they just told us to get out and not come back. And
did they offer you any place to go?
No, they didn't. They just said, I told them we've been trying to get on the church groups and all that, and there's long waiting lists, and you know, they didn't seem to be sympathetic at all. They just said, get out, don't come back.
This was all on Wednesday morning?
Yeah.
And how long have you been in town?
About a month now. I was originally in a hotel for a couple weeks, and then you know, things just went bad and I'm out on the streets now.
And you, Crow?
I've been here about 2.5 weeks.
And have you been sleeping pretty much in the same places or moving around a lot?
No, we've been on the levee out there for that entirety until they told us to leave. So.
Yeah. Had there been some complaints, did they say? Or?
No, we actually had one officer come down and said that it was okay to stay there as long as we kept a clean camp.
Do you remember his name?
No, I don't.
This is, again, a blue-shirted Santa Cruz police officer.
Pops wanted to talk to him.
I remember, Pops, you said that a man and a woman had both agreed that you could stay there.
They told me, and one was a male, one was a female, and the caretaker of the graveyard said it was okay to be there.
You guys going to be around on, like, Monday? If you are, you could file a complaint about this with the Citizens Police Review Board.
Yeah, you're there.
You're doing that. Yeah,
I was there too.
Got another one.
Yeah,
what's your name?
Oh yeah, Eric.
I forgot.
And Eric, you were also sleeping on the levee on Wednesday.
Yes.
And how long have you been doing this?
Just about a week.
And have you been doing? Are you local or out of town?
I'm from out of town.
And have you tried like getting shelter at the shelter or any of the Interface Satellite Shelter emergency program or anything of that sort?
No.
Because you prefer to be outside, or because you didn't know about it, or because you heard it's full?
No, I actually do prefer to be outside.
Okay. And so you've been camping at the same place for about a week?
Yeah.
And what happened?
I just got woke up by the cops, you know, just telling me I can't camp there. If I got caught camping there again, they'd give me another ticket.
Did they threaten any kind of violence against you?
No.
Well, I'm sorry, Greg, go ahead.
The policeman said that this is going to be his beat to come down there and patrol the levee every morning and make sure that no one's down there for the entire winter.
About what time did all this happen?
It was about 6:30. We'd already been awake for a half an hour, so we usually get up at sunrise.
How many people do you think this impacts? We talked to five of you. Would you say that it impacts more than this? Or?
Yes, definitely. There was more than us kicked out. There's people that sleep all up and down there because it's out of the way. And we felt, you know what, this is God's country, and we love our dead brothers and sisters as much as we love our live ones.
Near the cemetery, right?
Right, so I don't mind sleeping there.
Anything that any of you want to say about this situation, or where are you going to sleep tonight? Any ideas?
Oh, outside somewhere.
I see you've got your bedroll on your back there.
Yeah. I carry everything I own on my back, so.
Let me give you a flyer, and if you get any trouble, you can give me a call. Not that I can help much, but at least I can keep a record of it, and I can report it on free radio. So we're talking to Bobby. You came from San Francisco, Bobby, and you say that you were getting tickets from cops about Golden Gate Park sleeping, even after, during the times the park is supposedly open, from 6 in the morning to 10 in the evening, right?
Yes.
So what happened up there?
We all got tickets on those. I don't want to tell you what happened to the tickets, because I can't go on the radio.
Oh, it's okay to bring your tickets. It's all right.
Well, more than that happened to them.
Okay. I think we can use our imaginations here.
Okay.
So how many of you got ticketed?
10.
And how long did you sleep in Golden Gate Park?
One. That was only night.
And right, the 10 of you got ticketed.
Yeah.
How did the police treat you up there otherwise? Was it just that one night you got tickets, or you just happened to be going?
Yeah, they didn't have a right to give us tickets, but no, they treated us all right. Yeah, they were all right.
So are they still giving out tickets generally to people in Golden Gate Park?
Yep. If you sleep in Golden Gate Park, you're going to get a ticket.
How about elsewhere in San Francisco if you sleep on the street somewhere?
I was only there that one night. The next night, we slept someplace else kind of secretly, and then we kind of slithered off and came to Santa Cruz, which was a mistake. Santa Cruz is beautiful, but the police need work. I said that once. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby.
You're welcome.
You went to Berkeley. What's your name again?
Eric.
Eric, what happened in Berkeley?
Oh, it's just the cops are totally different. Like, they're from another planet up there. They're so polite and so easygoing in their job. You know, they don't take out their stress on everybody that's on the streets.
Does that result in everybody coming to Berkeley? Because I've heard recently they've been manufacturing minor drug busts to get people off of Telegraph Avenue. So.
I didn't see anybody get busted the whole time I was there.
And when did you leave town?
About 2 months ago.
Yeah, this began, I think, within the last 2 or 3 weeks, is what I've heard. But, yeah, I'm glad to hear that. I guess one of you said that it would be a good idea to start some kind of protest. Maybe you, Bobby, were talking about that?
A rally, not a protest. A protest ain't good. A rally's good because you're stating a cause.
Okay, and if you guys are interested, you know, give a call to the number on the street shit sheet. You want a copy of this?
I got one.
You guys got your copies?
Yeah,
I'll get it back. Sure, I would like you to make a copy of it for me. Maybe we'll put it on in the next issue of the street shit sheet.
And you're home of Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3. These are interviews from a week and a half ago on Pacific Avenue. And we have more interviews coming up. Really, the heart and soul of the show is the voice of people from the streets and what's going on out there. I tend to range far afield. I'm your host, Bathrobes Pierre Robert Norris, on this show, which airs every Sunday and every Thursday at 6, Sunday at 11 in the morning. Sometimes we go to San Diego, sometimes we go to Santa Monica, sometimes we get a report from Berkeley or Eureka or Portland, Oregon, kind of to keep informed what's going on in other cities and to help us understand we're not alone in this struggle, that it's not a particular group of police officers or a particular group of homeless people. It's a system of oppression that seems to be everywhere and a kind of a discriminatory attitude institutionalized into law and police practice that we have to fight. One perhaps that we can fight in Santa Cruz with some more tools, given the new city council, the election of Fitzmaurice, Crone, and Sugar last Tuesday, with their promises to stop arresting people who are sleeping on the streets. Perhaps we can turn those election eve words into real changes in the law. But I think that can only be done if callers get on the backs big time of these three, actually including Catherine Byers, four council members, and demand fast action around the sleeping ban, around the downtown ordinances, around discrimination against the homeless at businesses and in jobs and in other public places, against bogus tickets, whether by the Parks and Rec Rangers, as happened to Frank Ross, who's a Street Spirit vendor, Street Spirit, the homeless newspaper. He got a ticket for selling Street Spirit out near the, around Ocean and Plymouth, near the freeway. I called Parks and Rec director Jim Lang, and he immediately agreed to quash the ticket, agreed it was wrong. He didn't know what his Parks and Rec Rangers were doing, like usual. And then a couple days later, I heard that Frank Ross got another ticket for the same offense, selling the Street Spirit out in the same area, around the stop sign where you head off to the south toward Highway 1 off of Ocean Street. And he got the ticket this time from a rude and hostile highway patrol woman. And we're going to be taking that ticket to her and challenging it in court and challenging the policy. Actually, HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, if you're interested, is meeting today at Noah's Bagelry downtown on Pacific Avenue. That's Pacific near... it's across the street from the bookshop Santa Cruz. I always get those cross streets a little confused. I think it's Pacific and Church, is that right? In any case, at Noah's Bagelry at 3, if you yourself have been having some problems or you want to help with what I think is going to be a rising civil rights struggle this winter for poor people here in Santa Cruz. It's a continuing struggle, one where we've been doing it for years, many of us, and who knows, maybe we're beginning to get a handle on it. It's hard to tell. It really depends upon all kinds of factors beyond what one can even imagine, much less control. Stay with us. And call in. We're at 427-3772 on Bathrobes Pierce Broadsides. It's your radio station. We're going to play a little music, and then we're going to discuss some somber news.
I want to pay the poll tax. I'd love to pay the poll tax. It's just the tax for me. My gran will pay the poll tax. My kids will pay the poll tax. My cat will pay the poll tax. And so will you and me. MPs will pay the poll tax. VIPs will pay the poll tax. Mrs. T will pay the poll tax. So it's the tax for me. Hand or foot or thumb tax. Elbow, knee or bum tax. It ain't insane or dumb tax. It's any tax for me. I would pay a rain tax. A train, a grain, a drain tax. But if they make a brain tax, it won't apply to me or Mrs. T.
Come on, you wag, you mended if sods who like to chew the rag. Who'll stand in a bar for hours on end and a bitty talking jack. Sit down and park your feet a while. Give your mouths a rest, and I'll tell you about a dame they call the Guardian of the West. Her hair was the best that money could buy, her eyes were china blue. I swear they wouldn't have looked out of place on a frozen cockatoo. She'd a nose like the blade of a metal saw, a voice like a tungsten drill. She used it to bore the natives when she had a couple of hours to kill. When she was a puking baby lamb, she read in a magazine about the royals and decided then she'd like to be the queen. But the job had already been taken, so she stamped her foot and said, if I can't be the queen or the prince of Wales, I'll be the PM instead. And so she moved from NW4 to a pad in Downing Street. A well-found joint where she and a bunch of dead beats used to meet. And they'd all dance round the table, then have a cozy chat. And in between she'd practice her elocution on the cat. The lady often said she'd like to have lived in the golden age, before the days of the unions and the national minimum wage. And she sighed when she found out Hitler had smashed them all to hell. What he can do, I can do better, she said, and probably twice as well. And so she set out on the job of castrating the unions one by one. All except the ETU, and that had already been done. Teachers and civil servants, workers down the mine, needed a taste of the ladies' whip to make them top the line. The printers, they came out on strike, and she went for them tooth and claw. Nurses and firemen struck as well, and she belted them with the law. They may be gallant heroes when they're saving people's lives, but they're just a bunch of landlords when they're asking for a rise. Well, the lady's reputation plummeted down into the red. But trouble blew up in the Falklands, it was jam and a gingerbread. Thank God for a nice little war, she said, this is Britain's finest hour. So a couple of hundred swatties died so she could stay in power. The day a Polish shipyard became a casualty, she rushed to see Les Valenza crying solidarity. Oh, stay with us, my love, he said, but she answered with a frown. I've got to rush back to Glasgow, dear, to close the shipyard down. She doted on brave Colonel North and all that he represents. And she stuck like shit to a blanket to her favorite president. And she's madly keen on bushy tail of the dear old CIA. And she carried a torch for Botha and General Pinochet. Once behind the counter in her father's grocer's shop, she sold butter and jam and flour and spam and everything else the lot. But now the merchandise has changed, all prices don't apply. She's selling the nation off in lots to all who want to buy.
And that was Ewan McCall from a tape called The Naming of Names. Ewan is a man who's passed on. He's a great folk singer, great topical political singer. Lots of the stuff is about England, but I think we can take some of that British wit and apply it over here and see that there's similar things happening. Well, I was at a police violence conference yesterday where we're going to be hearing some of that conference actually later in the show if my producer can cue up the tapes. We've got like 4 hours of tape of victims, not just people who were brutalized by police themselves, that's sort of old hat, but these are relatives of people who were murdered by the police in different cities. And they came together at Monterey Peninsula College yesterday to talk about that situation. We're going to be hearing from them probably about an hour. But right now, I have a sad piece of news that perhaps many of you already know about because the news has been out on the streets for some time, and I really want to take off my hat to Vinny, the V-Man, who talked about this subject last night on the air about what do we do when we lose someone who has been with us. We've fought with him, we've eaten with him, we've been arrested with him, and then suddenly he's no longer with us anymore, and what that means, and how do we confront this. And he talked about it very well. He didn't even mention the person involved, at least for most of his conversation. I'm, however, going to mention the person and going to play an interview. We're talking about Sean Alimi, who was involved in a fatal automobile accident about 1 o'clock on Saturday morning near Fresno, and who died apparently very almost immediately. He was driving with John Earth. He was the passenger. John Earth was the driver. John fell asleep. Car went off the road, crashed, and overturned several times. John is still alive. I spoke with him, and we're going to be hearing that conversation in a moment. Sean is gone. And, well, let's hear how it happened from John Earth, who, as many of you know, been Sean's Feed the People business partner in compassion, you might say. Words sound so cheap when you talk about human life and what a person's life has been, but Sean has been putting out free food to people and encouraging others to do that for years here in Santa Cruz, in the face of massive harassment from police, pressure from merchants, factional infighting even in the activist community itself. A truly remarkable man who is now no longer with us. Here is an interview with John Earth from his Fresno hospital bed where we called him this morning.
We're talking to John Earth, who is in the hospital in Fresno at the University Medical Center. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing, Robert?
John, you have been a worker with Food Feed the People for before that, Food Not Bombs in Santa Cruz, and you just had a car wreck.
Right. It was a really bad accident on Route 5 the other night, and the car, I fell asleep at the wheel, and the car flipped over a couple of times, and Sean Alimi was killed, and I'm in the hospital here now. I've got a lot of broken bones and bruised lung, and my two front teeth were knocked out, and I gotta recuperate. And the world lost an incredible being when they lost Sean. He's happy now. I know that. But all the people that knew him and the people whose lives he had an impact on are going to miss him terribly. There's very few people you meet like that in a lifetime. And he's totally devoted to helping people. That was his whole life. And feeding people especially. So I'm going to miss him, and a whole lot of other people will miss him.
How is your condition, John? You have sustained some serious injuries.
Well, I'm in constant pain right now. I've got a broken bone in my back that's not in my spine. And I have a broken collarbone, and my arm is broken. Bruised lung, so I have to breathe deep all the time, and my two front teeth are knocked out, which is not too happy with. But as far as I know, I'll recover okay. So,
do people want to? How are you doing for insurance and money, and what's the situation there?
I didn't have any actually. Neither one of us really worked much in the money realm at all, so I've got a little cash, you know, but insurance, unless Medi-Cal covers this, which I don't know, I don't know what's going on with that.
What can people do to, first of all, to help you, and then second of all, to help Feed the People? Is Feed the People going to be temporarily suspended?
No, we're, as much as possible, we're going to try to keep it going at the level it's been. If people want to donate, any donations, we've got 15 vehicles that have been donated to us. And what we want to do is, especially the vans and buses, is fix them up. And we're going to loan them out to people who can take them anywhere they want, as long as they will agree to feed people wherever they go.
But how many vans is this?
Let's see, right now we have 7 vans, and there's like 2 buses. And then we got a truck and some cars and stuff. Basically, that would really help a lot.
Mm-hmm. John, I know you're in a bed in the hallway in the Fresno hospital, right?
No, I have a bed right now, yeah.
You have a bed, and you say that they're treating you fairly well?
Yeah, they've been wonderful, everybody. In fact, I was trapped in the car upside down after it happened, and I mean, you can't imagine what that's like, you know. And we had trouble. Fortunately, people got there fairly fast. They had a lot of trouble getting the door open to get me out, and then they flew me by helicopter to the hospital here. But everybody has just been wonderful.
You say that Sean was sleeping and just never woke up? That was the way it went?
Yeah, he never even knew what happened. I took over. He had been driving, and he was getting sleepy and nodding off. And then I took over, and I was sleepy myself, and I had been sleeping, but I figured I was a little more awake than him. And I wish now I had stopped at a rest area he passed, but I wouldn't have let him sleep a little longer, because he had only been asleep about a half hour. And but then I just fell totally asleep, and it was like I never I knew it hit me, it was like, just woke up to being slammed against the ground. And fortunately, I was trapped laying against the ground because it's convertible. And fortunately, it wasn't on the pavement. It was somehow I ended up on the grassy part on the side of the road. So, it was pretty bad, but it could have been even worse. So, I mean, God was with me. So, I'll recover okay. We'll keep on with feed the people. So, the goal is that the ending world hunger. Work, my life.
Yes. Well, I think our goal is now is to get you well again and get you healed and to continue we'll be talking to John Ruth in the Fresno Hospital. He's just had a serious accident, and his companion and co-founder, Sean Maloney, a few people, has died in the accident. Anything more you want to say, John?
That's about it. And I want to thank you and Becky for, you know, your concern and all your help. It's really helped a lot at this point.
And that was John Ruth, who is in stable condition in a Fresno hospital after an automobile accident that fatally injured Sean Alini, who died on early Saturday morning. I also have a press release written by HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, prepared by Becky Johnson, that I'm going to read. And this press release has been sent to different media. It reads as follows. Feed the People co-founder, sleeping band opponent, Sean Alimi, dead at 34. In an early morning accident on Interstate 5 on November 7th, Sean Alimi, co-founder of the all-volunteer organization Feed the People, was killed instantly from massive head and shoulder injuries. According to the CHP Fresno office, fellow co-worker John Earth fell asleep at the wheel and the car wandered off the road at 70 miles per hour where it overturned, killing Alimi. John Earth was transferred to University Medical Center in Fresno, where he is expected to recover. On March 2nd, 1996, Sean Alimi and Dan Hopkins founded the City Hall Sleepers protest at Santa Cruz City Hall as a vigil to end Santa Cruz law, which makes it illegal to sleep at night between 11 p.m. and 8:30 a.m., subject to a $162 fine for a single violation. In one episode, Alimi was arrested, handcuffed, taken to jail for sleeping five times in a row in a little over a 24-hour period to protest the law. Each time he was arrested, he would return to City Hall, fall asleep, and be arrested again. In all, he spent more than 30 days in jail protesting the sleeping ban. Sean founded and worked with Feed the People as an all-volunteer organization which used donated food to feed hungry and homeless people on Pacific Avenue and elsewhere. Local merchants had harassed Alimi's feeding program by calling the health inspectors, but Alimi had recently negotiated a truce with the management of Logos Bookstore, allowing the food to be dispensed at his Monday and Tuesday feedings unmolested. Sean had been a victim of police harassment for his high-profile activities. Although he frequently claimed, "I'm not political," he had been arrested, jailed for 7.5 months and tried on a phony drug charge, resulting in a hung jury and eventually dismissal of the charges. Recently, Alimi had been victim of prosecutorial prejudice when he was charged with 15 felonies, eventually reduced to 7, involving two minor girls. In the most recent plea bargain, the DA had offered to reduce charges even further to one minor misdemeanor if he would only plead guilty. Sean had been facing a jury trial in December on those charges, which many believe were politically motivated. Local attorney Kate Wells has vowed to clear his name posthumously. An enigma in the homeless movement, Alimi, a true warrior for the poor and homeless, counted police officers, judges, and city employees among his friends. This is a press release from HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, about the death last night, or actually night before last, of Sean Alini. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3. Calling number to the studio, in case you wish to speak about any of this, is 427-3772.
Worked and we fought for the little that's ours, and we're not gonna give it back. While you ride around in a Rolls-Royce car, and we're not gonna give it back. You take away our bread and butter while you're drinking wine, and you send out the cops against the picket line. You tried it before, but I swear this time, we're not gonna give it back. No, we're not gonna give it back. We're not gonna give it back. We're not gonna give it back, no fear, we're not gonna give it back. Well, you want our wages and our benefits too, but we're not gonna give it back. To make less for us and more for you, and we're not gonna give it back. Your profits are higher than they've ever been, the economy's a mess cause you're greedy as sin, and you never will care what shape we're in, and we're not gonna give it back. No, we're not gonna give it back. We're not gonna give it back. We're not gonna give it back. No fear, we're not gonna give it back. We won the right to bargain and the right to strike, and we're not gonna give it back. Now you think you can cancel them whenever you like, and we're not gonna give it back. Listen while I tell you about the rich and poor. It's what my mama told me all about the class war, and it's mighty plain to see what the union's for, and we're not gonna give it back. No, we're not gonna give it back. We're not gonna give it back. We're not gonna give it back. No fear, we're not gonna give it back. It's the same old story about the wealthy few getting rich off the workers' back. You divide us up by giving jobs to two, while another two get the sack. Up to now, you've had your ride for free, but we'll put a picket line around the whole country, and we'll set up a banner for the world to see that says you're never gonna get it back. No, you're never gonna get it back. You're never gonna get it back. You're never gonna get it back. No fear, you're never gonna get it back. No, you're never gonna get it back. You're never gonna get it back. You're never gonna get it back. No fear, you're never gonna get it back.
Okay, well, we're on the line with attorney Kate Wells, or Catnip Kate. Hi, Kate.
Hey, how you doing?
And Kate, you... You've known Sean Alimi not merely as a friend, but as a, you had him, but legally as a client?
Yes, he was a client, but most of all, you know, was a very, very close friend.
And how did you first meet Sean?
I met Sean when I was representing the people who were being arrested in the sleeping van. And so I met him in a jail cell at the Santa Cruz County Jail. I remember my first thought was, my God, how did they get a suit big enough for him? So we all know, you know, Sean was a not only a big man in stature, but...
he was a big man.
He was just a big man, you know, a warrior. A warrior for the people that never backed down from any good fight. And it's a huge, huge loss.
Yes. Well, you've said recently when you heard this news that you were vowing to make sure that his name was cleared. Do you want to give us some sense?
Absolutely.
Of
Sean, as being a, you know, obviously a very visible factor, feeding the people on a regular basis, and as I said, being a warrior, drew an inordinate amount of attention from both the Santa Cruz PD and the Santa Cruz County District Attorney's Office, and at the time of his death, he was in fact being prosecuted on a bunch of made-up charges that actually started out to be many, many felony charges that had been finally reduced to one minor misdemeanor. They were still trying to get him to plead to just this minor misdemeanor after they'd put him through hell. So trying to make some sense out of this in my own mind, and I'm committing myself to not only getting those charges dropped, but to procuring a declaration of factual innocence so that his name is forever cleared of any of these bogus charges. I guess all I can say is that they must have needed a super angel up there, because, you know, that's what he was. Anyone who knew him knew his magic, and
tell us about that, Kate.
Well, he touched everyone. He had a healing touch, you know, and as just a very, very deeply spiritual person, and you know, just can't believe he's not going to walk through the door in a few minutes here and say, "I love you, babe."
Or manja manja.
Manja manja.
Peanut butter and jelly and love sandwiches.
He, interestingly enough, as much as he attracted the attention of, in a negative sense, he also numbered among his very close friends several police officers and judges who, I mean, when he'd go to the jail, you know, they all loved him. They'd give him special treatment. They knew that he had a little larger appetite than most people, so they would slip him extra food. He's gonna be missed.
Well, when we talked to John Earth, he said that Feed the People is going to continue feeding, not only down here in Santa Cruz, but that Sean and John Earth were preparing to, and had in fact already donated some of their vans and vehicles to other people who plan to do a kind of a Feed the People type activity in other cities.
That would be about the highest tribute I can imagine. I hope we don't forget my longtime friend and Richard Quigley was here the last time Sean was here, which was I think midweek last week, and had given him his hat because he was wearing this poncho, and the hat just went with the poncho.